Let's now turn away from the attack and look at some of today's biggest market stories. I'm joined now in the studio by Ben Gutteridge, who is the head of fund research at Brewin Dolphin. Good afternoon, Ben.
Good afternoon.
So we've got some UK retail sales figures out today suggesting that maybe the consumer is brushing off Brexit fears, because retail sales rose 3.7% in February compared to a year earlier. These are figures from the Office of National Statistics, but the quarterly figures not quite as rosy. For the 3 months to February, sales were down 1.4% compared to the previous quarter. So what's your take, Ben? Are these positive figures or negative figures? So is it the quarterly you're focusing on, or the monthly?
Well, on balance, I think we have to say these are positive numbers. I think the retail numbers themselves reveal the consumer is still at this juncture feeling a little bit more confident than we might have anticipated, but and I think that it's a positive surprise is reflected in the markets. You know, sterling's a little bit stronger today, but ultimately, you know, the consumer can be confident and spend, but there is a limit to that thesis if inflation continues to rise and if wages don't match that inflationary rise, i.e. real incomes or disposable incomes do come under pressure. And so retail sales will, if inflation continues to rise and wages fall short of inflation, then retail numbers may yet disappoint in the future.
Just looking at the real basics here, why would good retail sales figures boost the pound? What's the chain that makes that happen?
Well, there is certainly some negativity in expectations for UK economic performance. Now, we have seen positive surprises. And what's driving currencies is interest rate expectations. Now, there's lots of long-term factors, and such as purchasing power parity and real effective exchange rates. But really, what the markets focus on is what are the central bank going to do with interest rates? And at this current juncture, the market is expecting the Bank of England to do nothing almost forever. And when you get numbers like retail sales better than expected, and you have inflationary pressure building, then you may see the Bank of England move away from this very emergency level, this emergency level of interest rates, and not act, particularly aggressively. But even a modest rise in interest rates, even if they project it's going to come sometime next year, that is much faster than expectations currently, and that will have an impact on sterling.
We should also say in the retail sector, we've got figures from the high street chain next today. We'll come back and discuss them later in the show, but they weren't too great. So still a bit of a mixed picture in the retail sector if Next isn't doing that well. Sticking with currencies, we can talk about the dollar as well, because we had this sort of increasing expectation over the last 24 hours, or realisation that maybe Trump was going to have more problems than previously thought in getting legislation through Congress in Washington. May take him longer to get healthcare through, even if he ever does, may take him longer to get tax cuts through. Do you think Trump will be able to get the widely predicted tax cuts and infrastructure spending through, as we were expecting a few weeks ago?
Well, I remain very optimistic on the tax reform. You're absolutely right to point out the challenges that Trump and his administration are facing getting through his repeal and replace in healthcare. And the disappointments in that may yet delay tax reform. But there is certainly consensus across the Republican Party, and they do have control of Congress and the White House. And this is their opportunity to get tax reform in place. And I really don't. The infrastructure bit that you mentioned, you've sort of joined it with tax reform. I think the infrastructure spending may yet have to bear the brunt in terms of that. We won't be able to get. You have to sacrifice that in order to drive through tax reform. And it's certainly tax reform and tax cuts that the markets are clinging to, and have been responsible in large part for the strength in stock markets. So if that doesn't come through, then I think investors can expect a bit of a rough time.
I see the FTSE 100 has just edged down very slightly. It's not, you could call it flat, really. Does that suggest that overall markets are pretty quiet today then?
Well, I think, it's you're right to bring up, the market's down. On a day-to-day basis, we do try and cling to news. I think the most obvious thing is that sterling's a little bit stronger today, and the FTSE has lots of international earnings. So on the basis that those businesses are performing the same, those euros, those dollars, those Asian emerging market currencies translate into a few less pounds today than they did yesterday, and that has a negative impact on the FTSE. But, you know, there's plenty of reasons to remain optimistic on the market despite the downward move today.
Now, the oil price has fallen over the last week on news that crude inventories in the US were higher than expected. The last time I looked at the Brent crude, it edged up very slightly this morning, but nothing too exciting. What's your take on the oil price sort of for the rest of 2017?
Well, one of the most difficult things to predict, so I appreciate the question, but...
it's hard to answer.
I mean... One of the complexities is that OPEC, the Middle East and Russia are in some sort of formal deal in order to cut production. And the history tells us that they're not very good at sticking to that arrangement. So if you get more supply than expected there, then that is negative for the oil price. But alongside that, if they are sticking to their to the promises of the deal, then you have US shale producers on the basis that the OPEC cut production, the oil price rises, US shale producers will simply produce more and offset that supply shortage from OPEC producers. So I really, it feels as though OPEC are going to feel less inclined to cut production, given that it's sort of giving a free ride to the US shale producers. So we would expect some disappointment in production cuts, and therefore OPEC to produce a bit more, and for the oil price really not to get beyond $55-$60 for any extended period. So this sort of range, maybe a little bit lower, seems most sensible.
OK, let's go back to sterling, because you had some comments from Ben Broadbent, who is one of the deputy governors at the Bank of England, and saying that, of course, sterling's fallen a lot since the referendum, and it's created, in his words, a temporary sweet spot for UK exporters. Now, I think most people understand the fact that if the pound goes down, that should help exporters because their goods become cheaper in overseas markets. So that sort of makes sense. But why is Broadbent saying that this sweet spot is temporary?
Well, I think much has to do with the Brexit negotiations. It may prove to be more than temporary, but certainly our visibility is that we have 2 years, or the UK has 2 years, with existing trading relationships undisturbed. And sterling is now a cheaper currency, so producing things in the UK is cheaper and more competitive. So businesses are incentivised, given that the trading relationships remain open and status quo, to produce more here in their UK operations. So far from actually pre-Brexit negotiations worried about an immediate recession, actually you could. There's a very reasonable argument. You see a bit of overheating in the economy in the short term, whilst businesses send as much capacity or much production capacity to the UK as possible to, you know, make as many cheap stuff as they can and take advantage of the tariff-free trading relationships into the rest of Europe. So that sweet spot does seem to be a very sensible analogy.
I guess one problem, though, is that even if you're manufacturing here in the UK and exporting some of your raw materials or inputs, the price of those may rise if you're importing some of those things.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, there is a margin element here. You know, where are you sourcing your costs? And I mean, often it's the auto industry that people would use as an example. And clearly, the UK is importing a lot of the goods that go into making cars. And not only are commodity prices higher, but sterling is weaker, so the import costs have gone up. But on a net basis, the UK still remains more, because the commodity angle is relevant for all areas of production. But on a net basis, the UK is still a cheaper place to produce. But you're right to point that out, because one mustn't get overexcited by the potential for businesses to rush to flood to the UK over the next 2 years.
You mentioned car production. Well, there's some very strong UK car production numbers in February. In fact, the number of cars made hit a 17-year high. More than 150,000 cars were made here in this country. What's behind that rise, do you think, Ben?
Well, I suspect we've probably covered this, in that it is taking advantage of the discounted place to produce that is the UK, while still enjoying the free trading relationship with the ultimate customer that is within the European Union. And it's a sort of a simple economics decision made by CEOs. So, and there's of course a recovery going on in Europe as well. There's better news everywhere in terms of economic strength, and so there is a demand element to greater levels of production, not just a supply story.
Ben, thanks very much for joining us today. A real pleasure to hear your views. You've been listening to Ben Gutteridge, who is the head of fund research at Brewin Dolphin.